So we are back this morning in our study of 1 Peter. And the title of this series is Suffering for the Glory of God. A couple weeks ago, I did an introduction on this very passage or this very letter that Peter wrote, and explaining that the very suffering we're going to talk about in this letter is a suffering for the gospel's sake. Now that's different than some of us suffer as a result of our discipline, as a result of our sin, and many of us suffer as a result of our sin. And that's not the kind of suffering that Peter is calling the disciples, the believers in this area of Asia Minor, Turkey. He's calling them to suffer for the gospel's sake, for the glory of God. And so I explained to you that this is a call to all Christians to obey and to follow Jesus and the message of the gospel. And so this morning, we really get into the exposition where we are going to be talking about just the very first two verses, Paul's introduction. So if you have your bulletins, I want you to grab those. If you have your Bibles, that would be great. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, ESV version. But whatever version you have, follow along with me as we read in 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect, chosen, exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, for the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Heavenly Father, my prayer is that this message would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That God, you would speak for me. That your words, your message is what changes people's hearts. It's your word that leads people to salvation. It's your word that is like a sword piercing the soul, exposing us, causing us to be naked before you. Jesus, do your work through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I love watching war movies. Anybody out there with me? Love watching war movies? Some of the old school ones that I like, and some of the old John Wayne ones like Iwo Jima, and even some of these ones when I was little like Taps, and some of the newer ones like Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers, even a newer one, Lone Survivor. I love those reality shows about Marines going through these trainings and Navy SEALs and how they go about training and instructing and all the things that go about as they go fighting for the country. You know, during these movies, we see sometimes what happens when somebody at war gets captured by the enemy. And they're run through an interrogation of sort. And you hear the response, name, rank, serial number. That's all you're going to give them. Now there was a purpose in that, and literally it stems from the Third Geneva Convention. The purpose wasn't exactly so that they can have your information. It's true, prisoners of war needed to provide that information. But the main purpose of providing name, rank, and serial number was for the officers. See, according to your rank or your status, you could be granted privileges by your enemy because you're an officer. I got to thinking about that in this passage this morning in 1 Peter, verses 1 and 2. See, you've got to remind you again, in 1 Peter, we know that Peter is writing this letter to a group of Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, but specifically Jewish Christians in Asia Minor, what we would call Turkey today. These were provinces, Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. All of them were provinces in Asia Minor that the gospel was being spread. These Jewish people were exiled into these nations. So Paul is encouraging them, writing to them, because there was much persecution going on as a result of the emperor named Nero. And I've told you this before, but again, as a reminder, Nero was persecuting Christians because he had burned down his city at the hopes of rebuilding it so that Nero would be proclaimed and famed as a result of having a beautiful city. The problem was the city didn't like that idea. And so what Nero did was said, you know, these Christians, this new sect of religion, was responsible for this fire. And so the people began to persecute them immensely, not only through their work and not doing business with them, but just literal persecution. They could die. Nero himself would tar them and cut their heads off and place them on stakes and light his gardens. There was immense persecution for the gospel's sake, chastisement for living for Jesus. And Peter is writing this letter to encourage the believers to continue on to suffer for the gospel's sake. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we have been given more security in the hands of our enemies than a name, rank, and serial number. When facing the interrogation of the world. But see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we forget what we have in Jesus. We forget because we're surrounded by all these enemies and all this persecution, and we forget what we have in Christ. And so Peter writes this letter to remind them. And in these first two verses specifically, he is reminding them of the war that they are in and what position we have in Christ. That's why those songs were so important, Josh. One of Peter's favorite words in the Greek is anastrophe. He uses it 6 times in this letter, 8 times total in both 1 Peter and 2 Peter. What does this word mean? Well, it literally means, I want to bring up a couple verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. Anastrophe is the word for conduct. In verse 18, he uses the same thing. It's knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. Is that the last of that verse? That could be. Ransom, the conduct. Basically, the reason I bring this up is Peter is saying, and listen, when you're suffering for the gospel's sake, people are watching your conduct. They are watching how you respond in regards to how you face this type of suffering. The point is that as Christians and our way of life, our conduct, we are supposed to be a different kind of people. People are to see us differently in the midst of suffering. People are supposed to recognize there is something different about followers of Jesus Christ. And so Peter writes this letter in the first two verses, reminding them of their conduct, that we are different. We are different from this world. You are different from this world if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to look at these two verses. And I see 3 things that should give you strength, boldness, encouragement to suffer for the gospel's sake. To be different from the world. To have a conduct, a way of life that glorifies God. the first thing that I see, it's found in the first verse. Peter. Now you're saying, whoopee, Greg. He starts the letter using Peter? You've got to be kidding me. That is all you got me for? Listen, the first thing you need to know that's going to give you strength and boldness as you walk through a suffering of the gospel stake, for the gospel's sake, is this. Is that it's a name given by God. Peter uses his name Peter. It's not his given name. His name was Simon. But see, Peter uses the name that God gave him. Look with me in John chapter 1, verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. Who's this who? That was Andrew, his brother. Brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the Son of God. You shall be called Cephas," or which means Peter. In Matthew 16, 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in that verse, it goes on, it says that Jesus goes on and says that, "I will call you Peter, and around this rock I will build my church." See, Jesus gave him his name. Jesus gave Peter his name. It's not denier of Christ. It's not person with a big mouth. It's not hypocrite. If you read Galatians chapter 1 and 2, I'd encourage you to do that, as Paul calls him a hypocrite. No, Peter addresses the Christians as Peter, an apostle of Christ. Interesting enough, Paul does the same thing. See, Paul's given name was Saul. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, look with me as a name, as Christians, God has given you a new name. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And going on in Revelation 21, 17, he also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. Boy, I keep giving you the wrong verses, don't I? Go on to the next one in 2:17. In Revelation 2:17, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." Follower of Jesus Christ. Peter writes this letter to a group of believers with his new name on it. And as you suffer for the gospel's sake, you should have boldness and strength knowing that Christ has given you a new name. Disciple. Learner of Jesus Christ. Ambassador. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Co-heir. Jesus wants you to get strength in the fact that he has given you a new name. A name given by Jesus. I had a lot of names before I knew Christ that I wasn't very proud of. Party animal. Drug dealer. Proud. Arrogant. What name do you go by today? Have you been given a new name in Christ? In the midst of suffering for the gospel's sake, remember the new name that Christ has given you. You have been given a new name in Christ. So yes, when he starts this letter with Peter, it means something. It means something that Peter can address a group of believers with his name given by Christ. The second thing I see, Peter an apostle of Jesus Christ. The next thing that I see that Paul wants to encourage, or Peter wants to encourage us, but not only that, is Peter is encouraged by this, and that is this: his position is given by God. Not only was his name given by God, but his position is given by God. He calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. The word, the Greek word, literally means a person sent forth by someone else. It refers to someone who has officially been commissioned to a position or a task. In the ancient world, an apostle was literally a personal representation or a personal representative of a king. Peter had been sent by Jesus Christ because he witnessed the suffering of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, he witnessed the suffering of Jesus Christ and so became an apostle of Jesus Christ. It was a position given to him by God. You don't think he drew strength from that? Peter absolutely, for suffering for Christ's sake, drew strength from his position in God. Peter wants to encourage us. You have been given a position in Christ. He goes on, he says, to those who are the elect exiles in the dispersion. Listen, a Jew understood what it meant to be chosen by God. They took great comfort. Jews take great comfort in knowing they are a chosen people of God. What Peter is telling these Christians are they also are chosen by God. They are truly the elect of Jesus Christ. Look with me in verses in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 5. And say to them, thus says the Lord our God, on the day when I chose Israel, I swore to the offspring of the house of Jacob, making myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I swore to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. And in Hosea 11, chapter 1, when Israel was my child, or was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Listen, if you were a Jew, you took great comfort in being a chosen person of God. But what Peter is telling them to take comfort in as they suffer for Christ's sake is they are the elect ones of Christ. Their position in Christ is that which they are chosen by God. The word elect should be very comforting to us. If you're chosen of God, what can the world do to you? Spurgeon said this, when asked how he reconciles election and free will, he replied, I don't have to reconcile friends. Listen, Christians, we don't have to run away from the word election or elect. God chose us, and we should draw strength from the fact that he chose us from the foundation of time. You are, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, elect of God. And you should draw strength from that. You walk this earth with your position firm. No one can take that away from you. When you strive to be obedient by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, nothing can happen to you. It is all temporary because you are chosen of God. You are chosen of God. Not only did God give us a new name, but he has given us a position. And thirdly, he has given us a mission. God wants you to draw strength. Peter wanted the Christians in Turkey to draw strength from the name that God gives them. He wanted them to draw strength from the position that God has given them. He wanted them to draw strength from the mission that he has called them to. Look at Peter. He says this. To those in the elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience in Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied. Listen to me. The mission that God has given you has come from the triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has given a mission to all believers of Christ. God, the triune God, is going before you. By the foreknowledge. You know what foreknowledge means? It means that he knows your mission. He knows what's going to take place. He's got this. He knows what you're going through. It's not coming as a surprise to God what you're going through. It has been chosen since the beginning of the world for you to walk through this. Listen, understand that God knows your mission. And what is your mission, follower of Christ? Well, first of all, you must be sanctified in the Spirit. Now, oftentimes we look at the word sanctification and we think that that comes from an after salvation kind of sanctification. But actually, Peter uses the word here in regards to salvation. What he's saying is we can draw from the fact that Jesus saved us. He has sanctified us. He has set us apart for a mission by the foreknowledge of the Father. And by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. A couple other times the Bible uses sanctification in regards to salvation. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. And by the will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, as you understand your mission was called by God, as you understand that Jesus saved you for a purpose, that purpose is this: obedience. Obedience in Jesus Christ. Peter is writing this letter to call them to obedience while they're suffering for Jesus' sake. And they must draw. They must draw on the strength that God has given them. Listen, your mission that God has already been calling you to by the Spirit of God who has saved you and revealed the Word of God to you through Jesus Christ, saved you, has called you to a mission of obedience. To suffer for the gospel's sake. Listen, Christ follower, you're going to suffer. Okay? That's not a message that's cozy. That's not a message that a lot of us want to hear. But what Jesus wants you to know is if you are obedient to Jesus Christ, you will suffer. And you must draw on what Christ has given you. He has given you a new name. He has given you a position, and he has given you a mission. And when you go to war with your flesh, you draw on his strength for obedience. These two verses in Peter set the groundwork for encouragement in suffering. When you read these verses, they should draw out such encouragement for you to suffer for the gospel's sake. To truly live out your walk in obedience, not pushing away the suffering that comes as a result of believing what this says. Sharing the gospel with your friends and your coworkers and your family. To living out what Jesus has called us to do, you will suffer. But you will have great joy in doing so. The triune God is going before you. Listen, when we go to this war, it's already been won. We are victors. That's a war I want to be in. And if you know Christ, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can go to this war with more security than a name, rank, and secure our serial number. Listen, you go to a war with flesh knowing that you've been given a new name in Christ, knowing that your position of election, that Jesus has saved you from the foundation of time, that you would believe in him, and that he has called you to a mission of obedience. You can draw from that strength, follower of Christ. We don't have to shy away from obedience to Jesus Christ, and we shouldn't be doing that. I get pretty worked up about this. Because in my own life, I try to shy away from confrontation. I want to shy away from persecution. I want to shy away from people not liking me. Listen, Christ knows. He wants to draw areas in your life that you've not let go. He wants to draw out areas in your life, follower of Christ, where he gets all the glory. When you draw from the strength of what you have in Christ, you feel as though you can do anything because it's Christ going before you. After an extensive tour in the United States, there was a well-known German pastor, theologian. He was asked, "What do you think is the greatest defect in the American church?" And he replied, "They have an inadequate view of suffering." We posted a follow-up question. He said, "Well, why? Why do you believe that?" The guy gave an example of the time he went to China, where immense persecution was going on. And he asked a lady if the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel would fly in China. And the lady started laughing. She said, "That won't fly in China." To say and to preach that a Christian won't suffer is going against everything that the gospel believes or says. Listen, Christ is calling you to obedience, follower of Christ. He is calling you to obedience, to say no to things for the gospel's sake. 1 Peter chapter 4, "I don't go to these parties anymore." Why? "I already got my fill. I want to be an example to those who don't know Christ." That's what it means to suffer for the gospel's sake. See, that message won't fly in the United States. You know what kind of message flies in the United States? Well, let's let Victoria Osteen tell us.
So I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself, because that's what makes God happy. Amen.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Now, I think Bill Cosby had it right. Now, listen, I don't have anything against Victoria Osteen. She's probably a really nice lady, and I'm dead serious. This is not meant to trash her. But I'm telling you, that message is gross. That message is not the gospel. And if you were not a believer in Jesus Christ and you heard that message, you would believe that somehow by believing in Jesus, you're going to get something. That message doesn't fly in China. That message isn't flying in Iraq. That message is not flying in Syria. That message is not flying in Iran. And that message should not fly at High Point Church. But the reason it flies is because we do not suffer for the gospel's sake. We do not suffer for obedience. We want the happy-go-lucky rainbows and butterflies. But listen, you are elect, chosen, aliens in a foreign world. This is not our home. God is calling you to obedience. He is calling you to live for Him in the midst of your suffering. HPC, we are called to go to war. A war with our flesh. When you suffer for the gospel's sake, take comfort in the name that Christ has given you. Take comfort in the position that you have in Christ. Take comfort in the mission that God has called us to. When you do that, you understand the grace and peace that Paul is praying for these believers. Listen, let me ask you something. How much grace are you experiencing today? How much peace are you experiencing today? You want grace and peace? It means not walking in your sin. It means not walking in fear. It means not following religious man-made laws. It means not being anxious about what happens in your life. If you are not experiencing the fullness of grace and peace, I encourage you to pray with me that God would call you to an obedient suffering for the gospel's sake, and then you will experience grace and you will experience peace. Listen, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and you are dead in your trespasses and sins, you serve a master, and he's the devil. And his aim is to destroy and deceive you. He wants you to listen to a message like that. But God, rich in mercy and grace, gave himself up as an atonement for your sins. He demonstrated suffering, sacrifice, because of his love. He is reconciling the world unto himself. You need to obey him in faith. You need to believe on him in obedience. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins. And when you do that, you are given a new name. A name written in the books, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like Parks over here, who recently trusted Christ. I just heard him share his testimony just yesterday. Listen, follower of Christ. Listen to me. We need to suffer for the gospel's sake. We need to suffer for the gospel's sake, but take encouragement in what Christ has given you. It's only temporary until he calls us home. You have been given more than a name, rank, and serial number in this war. You have been given much in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, in even these two short verses, I was challenged. I was challenged by the encouragement of Peter to these people. Lord, Peter was a failure in so many ways, yet Christ, you used him. And Lord, I am a failure. And Lord, we're in a group here. We're in a hospital. It's not a country club. Lord, you know all of us in this room, without you, we are dead. Lord, give us strength to honor and glorify you. Lord, help us by your Spirit's leading to wage war with the flesh May we all together be ready to go to war with our flesh together so that you might be glorified, Jesus. Lord, may it begin today. May our prayer right now, even as Josh begins to sing, Lord, even as we are praying to you right now, may the war begin right now. The war against the flesh. Lord, we want joy. Yeah, we want joy. But we know that comes through the suffering of saints. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. For it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Please stand as Josh closes.